All right, so we're continuing in, going through this chapter 7, which is 7 steps for a godly man or woman. And so we've looked at a lot of different steps about becoming men and women of the Bible, men and women of prayer. Last week we looked at the idea of having a separated walk, and that's the sense of where we realize that we do need to take a step back from different relationships when we're trying to help people. If we're closer to God, we can be a greater help to other people. And so tonight we want to consider the thought of becoming men and women of compassionate hearts. Because that's the thing. These are steps that we need to take, repeated steps in the walk with God. And that's going to help us to become a different person. And so then that ensures that not only do we not go back to our addiction, but we have a life that's changed where addiction is well removed. So that's why I want to focus on this idea of compassionate hearts. And so we want to think in this way, our need for compassion. A lot of times when we're struggling with a bad habit or addiction, we would say, well, I am in need of compassion from other people, right? And a lot of times if we're struggling with addiction, that's something we really struggle to find from other people, right? Because they look at what we've done and they say, well, you did this to yourself by your bad decisions. You've made a mess of your life and it's your fault, and why would I have compassion on you in that, right? And we can look at it and say, well, yeah, well, some of what they say is maybe well-deserved, but we know, okay, I'm messed up, I need help, I need someone to have compassion on me. And we can be very thankful for those people that are compassionate in those times and rejoice in that. But we want to think of it tonight more in the thought of, yes, not only do I need compassion for myself, but I need to have a heart full of compassion to show to other people. And we often don't think of it that way, right? Because we're self-focused, right? I need compassion, but in realizing, well, no, I need to be able to show compassion. That's just as much as a need as receiving it. And so we want to understand it. And so we think of it this way, because when we're walking according to the flesh, what happens is our hearts become hardened. And they're hardened not only towards God, but to those around us. Because we don't want to listen to God. We want to do what we want. And we don't care about anybody else but ourselves. And in such a state, we're constantly making selfish decisions that are damaging to ourselves and those around us. And so we kind of want to realize is that we have a wrong thinking that's gotten us down into that depth of addiction and everything else, right? And so there's a whole big shift that needs to happen. And we've talked about that, the idea of the two commandments of Christ, that we're to love God and we're to love other people, right? And it's the sense is that they go hand in hand, and we realize that's what we need to get to for our own, really, our mental health and well-being and everything, that's if we're still remaining selfish, we're not in a good place. We need to get out of that, and the Lord's trying to help us, right? And so instead, as we walk from the leading of the Spirit, our hearts are going to become softened toward God, because, of course, we're following God. But as we're following God, they're going to become softened towards those around us, because if He cares for other people and we're following Him, then we're going to start caring for other people. And so, when we understand compassion, it's the idea of, because the word there, passion, we think when they say the passion of the Christ, right, that refers to the suffering, right? And so compassion is defined as willing to suffer with another. So suffering together is really what the word means. And so it's the combining of two passions, love and sorrow. And so it's a thought that because we love someone, we see them in a difficult situation, And we sorrow over their difficult situation. We're like, boy, that's really rough. And I want to help them. I want to do something to get them out of that bad situation, right? And so when we have compassion, somebody up before, what would happen? That someone was in a bad situation, and what would we say? Well, we'd say, wow, it sucks to be you. And I'm glad I'm not you, kind of thing, right? And but it says, well, this is not my problem, and you're going to have someone else that can help you, because I'm not going to get involved. That's the way we lived before. But now it's where we say, no, your problem, I'm going to make this my problem. I care enough, I want to help you. I'm going to do what's necessary to give you the help that you need. And so we want to understand this way, that just like faith that we talked about, that true compassion is always demonstrated by action. And this is the thing that we see a lot of nowadays, and I think probably because it's what's out there the most, is we see it a lot in politicians, right? And how many politicians, where something happens, where they'll say a statement like, I feel your pain. And you really kind of look at the situation they're in, and it's like, no, you don't. You have no idea. But a lot of times they try to act like their empathy, that they'll cry about something, or they'll be in a place. And we have the phrase there that we're becoming more and more familiar with as of late, is that idea of virtue signaling, where basically someone will do something to make it look like they care. And it may not actually help that person. In many ways, sometimes it actually makes your problem worse. But to the general public, it looks, oh wow, this person really cares about this. They got a picture taken where they're hugging someone, and that person is just really a prop for them to try to get more votes. And so that's not real compassion. We want to understand that it has to be different than that. That when we actually have compassion, we're going to be moved by our compassion. We're going to be doing something as a result. We're not just going to pat them on the back. We're going to say, okay, I need to step in, I need to do what I can. So a big thought of this is Luke chapter 10, 30-37, that's the story of the Good Samaritan. And what happened, this guy was beaten up, left half dead on the roadside, and there was a couple guys that came by and they saw him, but they didn't do anything to help him. They passed by on the other side. They thought, well, whatever excuses they made, they didn't come to help him. But we see this guy that's a Samaritan. The big difference with him, if I can just find that here, Luke chapter 10, and it says, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And so we see that he was on a journey, he's going somewhere, but he says, okay, this guy needs help. I'm not just going to pass by. I'm going to get him to where he needs help, get him so he's stable, make sure he's going to be okay. And so you think of that, that's what Jesus was really showing. That's the example we need to follow. When we see someone that's hurting, we need to help them. And James, he talks about James chapter 2. He makes this statement. Says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you saying to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Right? Like, if you say, oh yeah, I hope things go better for you, but yet you could help them and you don't, then that's not going to be any good, is it? And in 1 John chapter 3, it says this, verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And then it says, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from how dwelleth the love of God in him. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So when we have compassion, that's when we see someone has need, and we say, I may not have much, but I have something I can do to help this person. And you could think of it, this person is down. Maybe all I have is maybe an encouraging word that I can give, right? But I'm going to give that encouraging word. Maybe a person needs a hug. Maybe, who knows what it is, but sometimes it doesn't necessarily have to be something huge, but for that person it is going to be something huge. And we're willing to do that, willing to take out a time out of our life. And that's, the thing is in our lives nowadays, usually we tend to have busy schedules, lots of things planned that we want to do, and to actually see someone, to notice them, to see, okay, this person needs help, and actually say, okay, I'm going to do something to help them. That's something we don't always, we're not paying attention to, but we want to learn how, and God's trying to teach us how. And we recognize that God's example of compassion, and that's really with anything, that there's so much, like we think of forgiveness, right? If we're trying to learn how to forgive, really what do? We look at how God forgives us, and then we realize that's how I forgive other people. And it's the same with showing compassion. We see, okay, how do I show compassion to people? Well, I just think, how has God shown compassion to me? And so we realize that He is a God, it says in a lot of different places in the scripture, that He's a God that is full of compassion. And really, you think of how big God is, if He's full of compassion, that's a whole lot of compassion, right? And so, He looks at us, and what we've done in our lives, and so often what it's been, He's given us warnings, we've ignored them, and we've destroyed ourselves by our bad decisions. But yeah, He's not looking at us, it's like, oh, you deserve this, and I'm just going to let you stew in your own juices and for a while, and you need to kind of have some harsh times just because you just haven't got this, right? Like, if anyone had a right to get angry and frustrated with, it could be God, but instead what does He do? He's long-suffering, He's merciful, He's gracious to us, right? His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. And so we can be very thankful for that, just what He shows to us. And we think of Jesus' life, that His earthly ministry was filled with outward expressions of His inward compassion. Because He had a compassion for a lot of hurting, helpless people who had no idea how to help themselves. I think a big example is the one guy, and it's really kind of interesting when you actually read the story, because Jesus is on the west side of Galilee, which was a lake that was about 8 or 10 miles wide. And He says to the disciples, we got to go over to the other side. And so they go over that night, and there's a big storm in the middle of it. Of course, He calms the storm. But He basically gets over there to this place called Gadara, and there's this crazy guy that comes out of the tombs, and basically he's demon-possessed, and he's just a wild man, and basically Jesus goes over to him and talks with him, casts out the demons, and so this guy's healed, and now he wants to follow Jesus. And basically everybody saw what was happening, because of course when the demons went out, they went into the pigs went and drowned themselves, and everybody was upset because they lost a whole bunch of pork. And so they said, well, we want you to leave because we don't want to lose any more good meat or whatever, right? But if you think of it, that he went all the way across during the middle of the night, endured this great big storm, and it was just to help this one guy. And then he basically went back on the other side. And so you think about, wow, that's like for him to do that, that really shows compassion. And we think of just a whole bunch of other people. You think of Mary Magdalene, one where he, like, of course, had great love for him as Savior, but you read her story, and she was demon-possessed too. She had like 7 demons with her, and you don't get full of demons by just having like this like peaceful kind of where you never do anything wrong kind of life, right? She must have been in a pretty dark place to have that kind of spiritual darkness within her. But Jesus rescued her from that, and she was forever grateful as a result. And so we see that, that's what he did. And so we see in Matthew chapter 9, we see the compassion of Christ specifically demonstrated. And so it says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fain were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will set forth laborers into his harvest. So we can kind of meditate on this, and there's different things we can bring out of this. That first off, he had compassion on many people, not just a few. He wasn't selective. Like, he looked at the multitudes, and it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to have compassion on the guys that are the best well-dressed here, or I'm going to have the ones where I think they can get some. No, it was the whole group. He felt bad for them and wanted to help them. And he had compassion because they're weak. They're fainting, right? They're following him. He knew he had the words of life. They want to hear it, but they were getting tired out, right? And he had compassion on them because they were a sheep gone astray, sheep having no shepherd. And of course, all of us, all like it says in Isaiah, all we like sheep are gone astray, right? And he has love for us all. He had compassion because he had no leader, no one to guide them. And so that's where he said, well, that's where I need to step in and give them some guidance. I need to show them the path they need to take, show them the truth. And so his compassion moved him to seek others to help, that he drew attention to it to his disciples. That says the harvest is great. There's a whole lot of people out there that need help. He says, but the laborers are few. So he's trying to point out, okay, we need help, right? But then as well, we see his compassion moving to seek God's help. He says, pray to the Father so that he can send laborers to help these people. And so it's the thing that he's seeing the great need, and he wants as many people to come and help reach these people and to show compassion to them. And that's kind of the thing, is that we sometimes our resources might be limited, but if we're really caring about someone, we try to bring other people on side that might be able to help more than we can. And so we want to try to learn to have compassion. And of course, it's not something that comes naturally, because we do tend to be selfish. The flesh is always looking out for number one and not thinking about others. But it's something we can learn. It's something God wants to teach us. And so we understand that God seeks laborers for his harvest, ones that will labor from a heart of compassion, not merely a sense of duty. Because it's kind of the thing, is if it's out of duty, there's always a limit. It's like, okay, I did kind of my good deed for the day, I did kind of what was enough, and they're just going to have to fend for themselves. Whereas instead, if you have a true heart of compassion, you're going to make sure that the person gets the help they need. You think of the Good Samaritan, of how he got him to a place of safety, made sure his needs were met, gave some provision for his future care, and then also said, I'm going to come back and see how he's doing. And so we think of that, right? That we want to have that heart of compassion. This is the thing, like, because sometimes it's like, how do I have compassion for this person, right? And you could think this person is kind of frustrating, difficult. But we want to think of it this way. As God shows compassion to us, he wants us to allow his compassion to flow through us. And that's the thing, is that that with so much of what God gives to us, he doesn't want us to be just this holding tank that just has it pouring in and we're just filled up to the brim. He wants us instead to be a conduit where it comes into us and then we spread it to other people. And so that's the thing, is it's just like you say, I don't have the ability to have compassion for this person, right? But I can allow God to have compassion for this person through me. And that's really, as we're walking with the Spirit, that's what we want to have him show us, where he's saying, okay, I care about this person. I'm bringing you across their path to help them. And where we're walking with him, and so we want to do what he wants us to do. And so we can demonstrate compassion to those that are wandering by guiding them to the Good Shepherd. And that's the thing. They don't have a shepherd. They need one. And we don't really, we know, okay, I can't be the leader that they need, but we know that Jesus can be. And so we're kind of leading them to him. That if they learn that the Lord can be their shepherd, that they can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, because he's with them. That's where we want them to get to. And so that's what we seek to do. He showed compassion to us. We want to bring them to him so that they can experience his compassion as well. And so as we walk with God, we need to expect he will be directing our steps to individuals in need of compassion. And this is really kind of the thing. In our lives, we think, well, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. So we think, okay, what's happened to me today, the people I'm interacting with, God bring them into my life because he wants to show compassion to them through me. And so sometimes it's realizing, okay, this person has been irritating me, and just I wish they were out of my life, but they keep coming into my life, and the Lord's trying to tell us, okay, well, I'm bringing you in here because I want you to show compassion. And so it's it really kind of changes our perspective when we start realizing, okay, yeah, this person needs help. And God's bringing them, me, across their path at this time because he wants me to have that part helping. And so as we learn to do that, it is a big change, but it's a necessary change in our lives. And so we want to understand that God's compassion for us brings us full circle, because when we're not walking with him, we have cold, hard hearts towards God and others. But as he works in us, we can change. So we're loving God, we're loving others, we're looking for ways we can help others. That before, just our whole horizon was just about me, myself, and I, right? Where now it's different, where it's like, okay, how can I be helping other people? And so we think about in our lives, God used various people with compassionate hearts to bring us out of darkness and self-destruction to his light and salvation. And so now we have the opportunity to be used of God to show the same compassion to those still in the bondage of addiction. And it's kind of the thing, knowing their sorrows firsthand motivates us to do what we can to help them find freedom as well. Because we can think back when we were in a low place and how we know we weren't necessarily deserving of compassion, but we knew we needed it. And there was times we maybe reached out to people and they didn't want anything to do with us. But then there was others that were willing to show compassion, how much that meant to us, right? And so when we see other people who are still struggling with addiction, we remember where they were. And we know that we wouldn't be where we are now without God's compassion, without others showing compassion. And so we realize, okay, God, and we want to have that, where our bad experiences can be used for good, that it gives us some empathy, where we see that person, we know, okay, I was there, and I know what they need. They need someone to have compassion. And so I might be, like, you think of it, people that haven't been in addiction or maybe haven't been around it, they can't understand why a person would be doing these things, and they have very little patience for people that would do those things, right? But for someone that's been in it, they realize why, and they know the help that they need. And so it's really kind of thinking like that, that God brought us through our experiences, and it's to help us, as we've seen his compassion, to develop compassion for other people too. All right, so that's the lesson for tonight. Is there any thoughts or questions as we finish up?
Pray for laborers in the harvest. Because right after them, he sent them out two by two. Mm-hmm. And then he appointed another 70 to go as well.
Yeah.
So he invited them first into the prayer, and then he sent them as part of the answer.
Yeah. No, that's true. And that's kind of the thought of it, is that we pray, and that's almost the mindset that we sometimes have. Oh, Lord, send somebody, please. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I guess you can send me. And sometimes, sadly, we don't get to that thought right away. Mm-hmm. I remember this one fellow where he was seeing the need in China, and so he was praying, well, Lord, send people to China. They really need people to go to China. And the Lord just kind of said to him, said, well, how about you? And he just kind of was like, No, I'm never going to China. And he said, his idea was that there must be a never alarm in heaven, that whenever someone says never, then that's when God says, yep, that's right, where you need to go, kind of thing. And so he ended up being a missionary to China. But it's really kind of realizing God wants us to develop that heart of compassion to the point where we would say, yeah, I'm willing to go to be a messenger to these people. And it's definitely a shift, but it's a necessary one. So, all right, anyone else? No? All right, do we have any awards or anything? Nope, not yet. I still have one on my last one to do that I have to do some. I have to do some outreach. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So, she's getting that. One thing I'd ask you all to pray for, we're doing.